We start this coming Shabbos to read a number of parashios that deal with the construction of the Mishkan. And there's a very interesting question that one may raise about the nature of the contributions to the Mishkan. In the Seder, we're going to read this coming Shabbos in Truma. And I'm just going to read the first three psukim. Vidaber Hashem el Moshe le'mor, daber el b'nei Yisrael, v'yikuli Truma, me'eis kol ish asher yidvenu libo, tikhu es Truma si. V'zos ha-truma asher tikhu mi'itam zahav v'chesef u'nechoshes. Shem says to Moshe to speak to the Jewish people and to take, I'll translate, li as on my behalf, we'll see Rashi in a moment, a truma contribution from all individuals asher yidvenu libo, who give from Nedava is a voluntary contribution. We have Neder and Nedava. A person says, makes a commitment that he'll give something. You should take my Truma. And this is the Truma that you should take. And it starts enumerating the different kinds of valuables from which were given. It is to make forgive me, I assume this is important for the recording process. To make it more explicit of the nature of Truma, is if we look in the beginning of Parshas Vayakel, we find Nedava spelled out a little bit more clearly. Chu, it's Perek Lamed Hey, Pasuk Hey. Chu mitchem truma l'Hashem, kol nidiv libo yivyeho, es trumas Hashem, zahav v'chesef v'nechoshes. Nedava is now replaced with nidiv lev. Here you get the sense of the generosity of one's heart. A bit later, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, again in the same parak in Vayakel, V'yavo kol ish asher nisso'o libo, v'chol asher nadvo rucho, oso ha'yviu es trumas Hashem, l'mleches o'amoed, l'chol avodoso l'uvdei ha'kodesh. All individuals, because not only men, it's also women, whose heart was raised and his spirit was generous, and they brought the Trumas Hashem. So one gets a very clear picture that the contributions that were made to the building of the Mishkan were voluntary, and they represented a generosity of heart and a commitment of the individual. Strikingly, Rashi points out that that is only partially correct. I read three psukim because I wanted to capture the fact that the word truma is mentioned in the second and third psukim three times. And Rashi, based on Chazal, say that this refers to three different contributions. So we'll go over the rashis. The yichuli truma, and you should bring for me, li lishmi. Why does Rashi explain lishmi It should be done the shame Hashem, because obviously the notion that Hashem somehow needs something from us, you know, give me something as if I need it, is inappropriate with referring to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So it means that the contribution should be done lishma, for God's sake. Certainly we understand very well when edifices are built and people contribute, very often there's more than one motive involved. When people want to have their name inscribed on the Aron Kodesh or whatever else they contribute, there's a dual motive. So this one should be only L'Shem Shemayim, not to get any personal credit. Yidvet Truma Hafrasha, that which is separated. Yafrishu Li Mimonam Nidava, they'll separate from their money this contribution. Yidvenu Libo L'Shon Nidava V'hu L'Shon Ritzon Tov. I can't explain the ancient French. Right? It's a gift. It's positive will, voluntary, the goodness of one's heart. Tichu es trumasi, amru rabosenu, shlosha trumos amuros kan. It's not just a single truma representing voluntary giving of individuals. There's a mix here. There are three trumos. Achas trumas beka la gulgoles shenasu mehem hu adonim. There was a required contribution that everyone had to give for the Mishkan, and that was used to make the adonim, which were basically the connectives, so that the different parts came together. If you had the wooden beams, by themselves, they'd fall apart. So you had to have these copper connectives where you placed the different wooden beams together, so they became a single Mishkan. And that was not voluntary contributions. Everybody gave an equal amount. K'mosh mefurash be'el pekuda. V'achas trumas hamizbeach. Another truma was that which is also not voluntary, obligatory, given by everyone. Again, another bekel agogolas or chatzi shekel for each head, for each person, lukupos, liknos mehem, korbanos tzibur. In order to purchase those animals that are going to be used for communal sacrifices, they came from a fund where everyone contributed equally. V'achas trumas ha-mishkan, nidava kol echad ve'echad, shlosha asar dvarim hamurim b'inyan, kulam hutrichu l'mechz ha-mishkan, olivigdei kuhuna, shidagdek behem. And then, as we start with the Zahav, Kesef, and Nechoshes, they bring other materials, all of which, 13 of them, all of which were used either for the construction of the Mishkan or for the special garments that were worn by the priests, by the Kohanim. What is important here are many things, but not least is the fact that we move from a sense of total voluntary contribution, free giving of one's generous heart, to that which comes from an obligation, from a mitzvah, that everyone has to contribute. And in fact, two out of three come from obligation. Two of the three trumos, and one comes voluntarily. However, to balance that, only two actually refer to the construction of the Mishkan. The third, which is everyone had to contribute the same amount, went for the Korbanos HaTzibur, for the communal sacrifices. And that we understand very well. Because if the sacrifices are to represent and reflect the community, it's inappropriate that some individual have a greater share than someone else. We're all equally part of Klal Yisrael. And no individual is a more important component in the sense of tzibur. So that which is going to go for the annual collection for the korbanos tzibur that are brought year after year had to come from everyone equally. But let's look at the two parts of the Mishkan. We have that which is given by everyone equally, which is used only for the Adonim, for the connectives, but not for the Aron, for the Shulchan, for the Mizbechos, not used for the primary items that mark the Mishkan. Those come voluntarily. And, of course, if it's voluntary, clearly some people will donate more than others, or things that are more valuable than that which is donated by someone else. I should point out, though it's not our topic, that the donation was not only of items of value, but it was also of work. The kinds of work that were done in the building of the Mishkan represented all 39 avos melachos of Shabbos. All 39 different kinds of work that the Torah prohibits on the Sabbath were utilized in one form or another in the construction of the Mishkan. The question that I want to raise, and that's the topic of our class discussion today, is what is greater? Which is the preferred model? Voluntary contributions, where people are able to display their commitment and their devotion, or that which we are required to do that manifests our accepting responsibility and obligation. Now, this question is not mine. The question is discussed in the Talmud. That's the next source. Rav Yosef, one of the Amoraim, became blind. And Rav Yosef, when he was blind, thought of the opinion of the Tana, Rabbi Yehuda, who said that a blind person is not obligated to do mitzvahs. Now the question is this a good thing for Rabbi Yosef if we decide that Rabbi Yehuda is correct? Or is it a bad thing for Rabbi Yosef to discover that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda? Why? Because if we accept the view of Rabbi Yehuda that someone who's blind is not obligated to do mitzvos, then Rabbi Yosef, who's blind, is in that category. He's not obligated to do mitzvos. But of course Rabbi Yosef is going to do mitzvos anyway. So the question is it now that he's doing the mitzvos voluntarily, without that obligation, that's going to get even more reward because he didn't have to do it and he did it voluntarily? Or on the contrary, it is you get less reward for performing a mitzvah if you don't have the burden of responsibility and obligation. So the Gemara in Baba Kama tells as follows. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Mei reish hava amino, initially I thought, Mand amar halachok Rabbi Yehuda, The Amar Suma Potter Mina Mitzvos Koavdina Yoma Tovala Rabbanon. I initially thought that if someone would tell me that the halacha is according to the view of Rabbi Yehuda, that a blind person is not obligated to perform mitzvahs, I would make a party for all the rabbanim. My time, or why? The lo mafgedina, because avdina mitzvahs, because I'm not obligated, and I do mitzvahs. So Rabbi Yosef's initial view was doing the mitzvahs voluntarily is better than doing them out of obligation. However, v'hashti the shemoyes lahad Rabbi Chanina. But when I learned that the Amora from Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Chanina, said the opposite, the Amor Rabbi Chanina, gadol hametzuva va'oseh, mimi she'ein hametzuva va'oseh. When I learned, no, I'm going to get less reward if I'm not obligated, because you get them, because accepting the burden of responsibility and obligation to do it is greater than doing it voluntarily when it comes to schar, to reward for mitzvahs. So then I reversed myself. Manda amali ein halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda avdina yom etovel rabbono. My time in the kimafdina isli agratvei. When I learned that my initial impression was incorrect, but one gets greater reward for doing a mitzvah with that one is obligated to do. So I said, if someone will come over and tell me that we don't say the halachas like Rabbi Yehuda, meaning that even though I'm blind, I'm still obligated to do all the mitzvot, then I'll do a party for the Rabbanan, because since I'll be doing the mitzvot based on being obligated, if we don't follow the view of Rabbi Yehuda, so then I get greater reward. I'm going to thank the person for letting me know that we don't decide Rabbi Yehuda. So the Talmud seems to make a very clear conclusion that on the contrary, a mitzvah va'oseh is greater. If you want to get proper reward, you have to be obligated. Voluntary is nice, but not on the same level. And in fact, I could have brought you a number of places in the Talmud and in the Shulchan Aruch where this is codified as the halacha, that you get greater reward for being a mitzvah va'oseh. However, the impression that one certainly has gotten in Parshas Truma and Vayakel is that the thrust and that which is stressed time and time again in the construction of the Mishkan is not the fact that there was some portion that everyone was obligated to give. On the contrary, what seems to be stressed is the voluntary nature of things. It would seem to be against what the conclusion of the Gemara is. So, in order to try to understand this, I brought a letter of Rav Kook. I will acknowledge that if you have difficulty figuring out all the words, don't be disappointed. Rav Kook is very difficult to comprehend. Rav Kook is dealing with the spiritual concepts that come from one's giving of oneself voluntarily and those that come out of the obligation. And Rav Kook tries to demonstrate the great value of that which we do voluntarily and the goodness of our heart. But Rav Kook is very well aware that the Talmud seems to conclude on the contrary. So he makes the following differentiation. It says, when it comes to halacha, our religious obligations, that which the Torah prescribes, then accepting the responsibility and obligation is greater. However, when it comes to those areas of lifnim mishurat hadin, when one goes beyond the requirements, when it goes to doing maaseh chesed, midot chasidut, those areas, then clearly it's much greater to be voluntary. Right? So it's, I'm going to skip just to quote a specific line. ומשתות את הבך אפי נדבת הרוח וחופש הרצון הטוב חייב לרשם בתור מידת חסידות. That which is, comes from the voluntary spirit and the willingness of the individual, that's incorporated in what we call midat chasidut, going beyond the requirements of the law. Ve'en l'shayar gadol lehefsed shayta tarbuta unushit sovelet im eila hamidot hana'alot hayu nikva'ot v'keva chiyuvi. So on the contrary, if everything would only be of the nature of formal obligation, it would be a terrible loss to human culture and society. Ki rak mashu yoter hechrechi lechayim hachamiyim v'amusurim v'oveh pogei nechlash l'asharat ha'atid ze nechnas v'azara v'gadol ha'mitzuvah v'oseh. Says the concept of gadol ha'mitzuvah v'oseh is restricted to that which is necessary to have a proper life. Those norms that without which life cannot function properly, that we have the notion that there needs to be a sense of obligation. After all, voluntary commitments can go on and go off, depending on how generous I feel at a particular time. One has to have a sense of responsibility and obligation. But that's sort of the ground level. That's the basic level of what's needed for life. But when it comes to the ultimate reflection of a high level in life, that's where volunteerism comes into the picture. So it's interesting that Rav Kook's distinction is usually portrayed as differentiating bein Adam l'chaveiro and bein Adam l'makom. That the notion of mitzuveh v'oseh being greater is in the area of our obligations to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because there we must have a sense of obligation and responsibility. It's not that we're doing a favor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us we accept the Ol Malchut Shamayim, we accept the yoke of heaven, we accept responsibility. And an individual who does a mitzvah voluntarily, certainly it's praiseworthy, but it's not the same. However, Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, when we're talking about human interactions, when we're talking about V'haftal Re'acha Kamocha, that you should love your, whoever the Re'ah means in the Pasuk, your friend, another individual like yourself, then it means you must really love them. It's not a, you don't really love one when you only act on a basis of obligation. You can act nicely, but real love requires a feeling, an emotion. Right? It's not enough to do acts of chesed. We use the phrase va'ahavat chesed. Right? You should love chesed. You should, your whole soul, your whole being should want to help others, whether you're formally obligated or not. That's the general understanding of Rav Kook. I'd like to suggest that Rav Kook's statement should be understood more broadly. And in order to do so, I want to mention a famous opinion of the Ramban. The Ramban in Chumash, in the beginning of the parashah of Kedoshim Tihiyu. And the question is, what does the phrase Kedoshim Tihiyu, you should be holy, add? Do the mitzvahs, you'll be Kadosh. And the truth of the matter is, if you look in the Rambam, when he counts the mitzvot, he doesn't count Kedoshim Tihiyu. Because to the Rambam, you become holy by doing all the mitzvot. There's nothing new added here. It's not a new mitzvah. It means do the mitzvot and that will sanctify you. But the Ramban has a different interpretation. The Ramban says, Kadesh atzmecha b'mutarlach, mutarlacha, you express kedusha in the realm of that which is permissible. That noted expression of the Ramban that one unfortunately can be a naval b'shuta Torah, one can keep all the mitzvot technically, correctly, and still be a very unpleasant individual because you've lost the entire spirit of what the Torah wants from us. And that is Kedoshim Tihiyu. And the Ramban goes on to clarify. After all, what would be if an individual who is very meticulously careful to eat food with the highest level of kashrut and he stuffed himself all day long? He was a glutton. But he was a glutton of only glatt kosher food. He'd still be a glutton. If a couple in their relationship were very meticulously careful of all the requirements of Hilchot Nida, of separating the proper time, but the rest of the time, their whole relationship was purely physical and sexual and didn't have any other component, that would also be terribly inappropriate, despite the fact that in both cases there was no technical violation. That is Kedoshim Tihiyu. What the Ramban later mentions, but somehow didn't get the same fame, is that this is not a unique interpretation for this one pasuk alone. The Ramban says, interprets two other areas in the same way. The Ramban in Parshat Emor, in discussing the positive commandment to keep Shabbat, Tishbot, besides the prohibition, there's a positive commandment, understood by virtually everyone else, one possibility in the Rambam, it's not clear, as simply adding to the prohibition a prohibition in a form of a positive statement to make it more severe, that doing work on Shabbat is prohibited both with a lo ta'aseh, a prohibition, and an aseh, a positive commandment. That has certain technical ramifications. Ramban says, no, the aseh is broader than the lo ta'aseh. The lo ta'aseh is restricted to 39 categories of work to very specific actions. The aseh incorporates a person having a full sense of Shabbat. A full sense of Shabbat means that a person understands its sanctity and acts accordingly. So that if a person who figures out technically how to do that which is not halachically work, but we know it's work, just doesn't fit the categories of work, then he does not. Then he fails in fulfilling the aseh of Shabbaton. He does what's called an uvda dechol, that which is inappropriate in Shabbat. He didn't capture the character of Shabbat, just a formal observance of not doing anything which is technically a malacha, a form of prohibited work. This is a very similar notion according to the Ramban. The third place the Ramban says the same concept is in Sefer Dvarim and the Pasuk Vasita Hayashar Vahatov. Should do that which is just and good, which Rashi points out is that Pshara Ulifnim Ishura Tadin. That is that in your interaction with other individuals, you do pshara, which is a form of accommodation, mediation. You try to take in account that which is right on both sides. You don't, a betin, if it uses the principle of pshara, doesn't decide a monetary dispute from a technical halachic perspective that normally will produce a result that one side wins and the other side loses. No, you do a pshara. After all, there must be some justice on both sides of the dispute. You take that into account and come out with a result that is somewhere in between. It doesn't mean you split the difference all the time, because sometimes one view is much, much greater weight and has much more justice than the other one. But rarely is it 100% on one side and zero on the other. You find some way of accommodating the two. And lifnim mishurat hadin, going beyond the requirements of the law. And the Ramban says, same concept. All three are the same thing, the same notion. What is the Ramban's perspective in these three areas? Which we can say, Kedoshim Tihyu is in the areas of Ben Adam Lemakom, in the mitzvah, in the normal halachic requirements. Vasita Hayashar V'Atov is Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, in the interactions between people. And Shabbat and Yom Tov is in the ritual aspects of the Kedusha the Kedusha that is given to time, that's expressed by a day being Shabbat that has its religious character, or a Yom Tov, one of the holidays, each of which has its own specific religious character. So in all three areas, the Ramban says that the formal halachic requirements are not good enough. They're necessary, but they're really not sufficient. There's an additional requirement to strive for Kedusha, to strive for Yashrut, to strive for sanctity, to strive to be just and straight, to try to have an experience of Shabbat and of Yom Tov that is filled with Kedusha, with sanctity, and not merely with technical maintaining of legal requirements. If we see the words of the Rav Kook in the context of the Ramban, and I do not say that Rav Kook is referring directly to the Ramban, since he doesn't mention the Ramban, extrapolating a little bit over here. So then Rav Kook is not simply making a distinction between Bein Adam Lemakom and Bein Adam Lechaveiro. The Ramban is making a distinction between that which is halachically necessary to maintain a basic religious life, and that has to come out of a sense of obligation and responsibility, gadol hamitzuveh v'oseh, over someone who does it voluntarily, and that which brings the additional component of kedusha to one's life. When one strives to bring sanctity to one's life, then it's not sufficient to fulfill one's obligation. There, what is required is a desire to perform the mitzvot on our own. We want to live a certain kind of life. And therefore, that's what expresses itself in midot chasidut and lifnim mishurat hadin. One second. Lifnim mishurat hadin, going beyond the requirements of the law, because we're not satisfied with a technical fulfillment. We want to bring Kedusha into our lives. The Ramban, in a fascinating way, and it's really a discussion in its own right, says that that is also, in a sense, halakha. You get this very interesting dynamic according to the Ramban. After Kedoshim Tihyu Vasita Yashar Vatov Shabbat Shabbaton are all mitzvot. They're all included in the Torah, but they're different from those that are quantifiable, and that can be spelled out. The obligation is to do X, Y, and Z. They have a certain general nature that can only be fulfilled by someone who understands the spirit of what the Torah wants from us. And that's how we, and I'm applying that to Rav Kook, and that's what's involved when you want voluntary things. Yes. I your point is well taken. This is not a time to discuss Rav Kook's relationship with other Rabbanim at the time. It's a very important topic, but for another occasion, I think. I now want to apply that which hopefully we've somewhat established back into the building of the Mishkan. After all, on one hand, there is a religious obligation, Vasuli Mishkan v'shachanti b'tocham. The Jews were obligated to build the Mishkan as they were, when they entered Eretz Yisrael, obligated to build a Beit HaMikdash. So on one level, this is in the category of a mitzvah in which we should apply the principle of Gadol HaMetzuveh v'oseh. On the other hand, the Mishkan was not merely another mitzvah, right? Vasuli Mishkan v'shachanti b'tocham. The purpose of building the Mishkan was to enable the divine presence, the Shechina, to be found in the midst of the Jewish people. In fact, the Ramban, in the end of Sefer Shmot, in which he calls the Sefer HaGeula, the book of the five Chumshei Torah, the book of redemption, says that it ends with the completion of the construction of the Mishkan, because that's the real goal. Fascinating. One would imagine that the goal was Mamad Har Sinai, right? The goal, after all, what did Hashem say to Moshe? Take the Jews out of Mitzrayim, because they're going to serve me on this mountain. They're going to accept the Torah, right? They're going to hear the Aseret HaDibrot. That's not the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal, at least according to Ramban, is the building of the Mishkan, because that's how the divine presence can be found in this world. Understand very well that this is one view. Rashi interprets the building of the Mishkan very much in terms of a kapara, as a form of atonement for the chait of the Egel HaZahav. That it's not that this was the goal per se, but it became necessary to undo the damage caused by the Jews sinning in the Golden Calf. Again, another discussion. Maybe one of your other people discuss, we have so many weeks on this area, we'll discuss the machlok between Rashi and the Ramban on that point. But in either event, even according to Rashi, the purpose of the Mishkan is to raise the level of sanctity of the Jewish people. So while on one hand it's a mitzvah, and you have a notion of gadol ha-mitzuveh va-oseh, on the other hand, as we saw in Rav Kook, and in a certain degree we saw in the Ramban, just fulfilling the obligations while necessary does not create the atmosphere of Kedusha. Kedusha requires more. Sanctity does not come only from fulfilling obligations. Sanctity requires an additional dimension. Kedusha requires nediv lev. And that which is going to be contributed to the building of the Mishkan, which is going to be the place of sanctity for the Jewish people, had to reflect their desire to bring Kedusha, the generosity of their spirit, the giving of their own willingly out of a desire to experience the divine presence, not merely to fulfill one of the mitzvot of the Torah. And therefore the parsha stresses again and again the aspect of nidava, nadva rucho, nidiv lev, voluntary, heart, spirit, commitment. But if that is correct, so let's get back to the Rashi. So why did you have to have three trumot? You should have had two. One was the truma that everybody gave equally for the korbanot zibur, because everyone has to have a share equally in the korbanot. And the other should have been the voluntary one, where everyone gave whatever their heart expressed. And yet it's not quite true. We needed a third one that again was obligatory and equal for all individuals. The third one was used for the adanim, the connectives. And here, I think there are two elements that have to be brought out. On one level, it means it's inconceivable that we have a Mishkan that only belongs to some of the Jews. Only those who had what to give and were very generous or had the appropriate skills to do the work. The Mishkan clearly must belong to the entire Jewish people. And the only way that can be assured is that there is some level where everybody gives equally. Beside the voluntary expression, when not everybody is a Bezalel, there had to be something that had to reflect every Jew has a share in the Mishkan. It's not a Mishkan for some and not for others. So there had to be also some level of obligatory contribution that became part of the Mishkan itself and not only for the korbanot that they're later going to bring. Why in particular does it go for the adanim? Because the adanim are the connectives. That the whole depends on the different parts being connected together. No matter how talented one individual is, no matter how generous, no matter how much they give of all their material wealth, of all their skills, creative and creativity, they have to understand that the pieces by themselves don't produce a Mishkan. The Mishkan requires that the pieces be connected, right? That means I have to be dependent on others in order for the Mishkan to be ultimately built and not just beautiful pieces, nice artwork. And therefore, precisely that which serves to connect all the pieces, that's the part that has to come from everybody based on obligation and common giving, to say that without everyone, no matter how generous I am, no matter how talented I am, I can't produce Kedusha of the Mishkan on my own. It's only in conjunction with everyone else. To combine what we've said, and I won't take longer than my time, there, the notion of voluntary contribution, of expressing one's inner feelings and commitment, is not inferior per se than that of obligation. That's not what we should understand from the statement in the Talmud. The statement in the Talmud tells us that when we do mitzvot, we have to understand that there's a level of obligation. And if we don't accept the obligation, our voluntary spirit will not necessarily carry every single occasion. I wake up one day in a good mood, the next day I'm in a bad mood. There's something to be said for knowing I have to fulfill my obligations no matter what my spirit, no matter what my mood, no matter what the occasion. So when it comes to the performance of mitzvot itself, we have the principle of Gadol HaMitzuveh Va'oseh. But there was a reason why Rabbi Yosef had the Hava Amina, why he initially thought that it wasn't the case. Not because he was simply wrong, but because it applies in a different dimension. It's the dimension of going beyond obligation. It's the mention of the Fnim Mishurat HaDin. Not only Ben Adam L'Makom, Ben Adam L'Chavero, in all areas, of extending ourselves beyond that which is formally required of us. That's what produces a nobility in life. And that which leads to Kedusha. So when we come to the building of the Mishkan, which is the ultimate manifestation of human beings acting in a manner that will lead to Kedusha, Shechina, divine presence in this world, the stress shifts from that which is obligatory, though it remains, to ensure that no one be left out and no one think that he is or she is the only source of Kedusha. And the Torah stresses not the Adanim, that's hinted at most. What the Torah stresses is the Divlev, the bigness of heart, the generosity of spirit, which was necessary to create the Kedusha of the Mishkan.